I feel confused about the topic, the preacher this morning. Let me explain to you a little bit. Dr. Gary McLarty was going to deliver the message to us this morning about Christian behavior, living by faith. We are in the middle of our doctrines, Seventh-day Adventist doctrines, teachings, and this was the one of the doctrines that Dr. Gary McLarty was supposed to deliver this morning, and unfortunately, he didn't feel well. When I received the call yesterday, I thought I had to debate and choose to stay with the schedule and deliver the same topic or preach on a different topic. And I decided, since Dr. McLarty worked on it and he had some thoughts to share, I'll leave it with him so he would have an opportunity to share with us his thoughts about Christian behavior. And we might go out of sequence a little bit this morning, so I'll be preaching on death and resurrection, which usually we're supposed to do it a little bit later. But as I was thinking about it, a funny story came to my mind. I even at one point thought maybe we should not have a sermon at all and have something different. But the story that came to my mind was about a man who, government workers, and the man was driving by the road and he sees two guys. One is digging the hole in the ground and the other one fills it up with the dirt. And he watched them for a while and then couldn't stand it anymore, so he went to them and asked them, "What in the world are you doing?" And the guy says, "Well, it's usually three of us. Billy, Johnny, and I have to work every day, and Billy's job is to dig the hole. Johnny's supposed to put the tree in the ground in the hole, and I cover the hole with the dirt. Well, Johnny is sick today. That doesn't mean that Billy and I shouldn't work." Hope you got it. Our topic is death and resurrection. A few years ago, I received a call from the community. A lady called from the mobile home park, and she said that a neighbor who was a retired minister who volunteered to pastor a small church in the desert in Palmdale area had his wife dying in the hospital. And while he was with her at the hospital, the fire broke up in his mobile home and almost destroyed it completely. So she was soliciting some help from community, from different churches, for this family. I called some of our members, I called other churches, talked to other pastors, and we collected some funds that next day I went to deliver to this man. And as we met outside of his home in the mobile home park at Cala Mesa, we were on the street talking, and I delivered the envelope with some funds, some help to him. He received a message on his cell phone that his wife passed away at that moment. He was a little bit disturbed. And while he was there, some other neighbors were coming out to comfort him. Some other friends from the church received his message. And while we were talking, one of his friends, the churchgoer, tried to comfort him, and he said, "You know, don't worry. She's out of her misery now. She's in a better place now. She's in heaven." And I watched this minister he was quiet for some time, and then he looked at him, at his friend, and said, "You know, it's easy for you to say, but for some reason, it's hard for me to accept it at this point." And I thought, here's the man who for years was preaching that when people die, they go to heaven. But when it comes so close to home, it's hard to accept it. So what happens when we die? Do we go to heaven? Do we go to hell? Or nothing happens? We have a story in the Bible that Jesus, when he died on the cross, his friends, the disciples, took his body down from the cross and placed it in the tomb. And the governor, the Roman governor, put his seal on the stone that covered the mouth of the grave and put a guard so that nothing would happen to that body, to keep that body in the grave. But next morning, Sunday morning, early in the morning, the angel appeared at the grave, at the tomb, rolled away the stone that covered the mouth of the tomb, and called Christ forth. Nothing could keep Jesus in the grave. No Roman governor's seal, no his guards and soldiers, not even death. Jesus conquered the death. That event provided his followers, Christians, with something that nobody else has, that pagans never had any thoughts of what can happen after the grave. We have this hope that we can deliver to others, that the grave, the death, is not the final say. The catacombs under the city of Rome, the rocks testify the difference between the pagans and Christians. And the epitaphs say on the pagans' grave, "Goodbye forever," while Christians would say goodbye until we meet again. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore," Jesus says. "And I have the keys of Hades and death." If we don't understand the message of death based on biblical scripture, it can be quite confusing and frustrating. It can be very discouraging if we don't have this hope that we will live again. A Christian faith would not make sense at all. The death came upon the humankind when we were separated by sin from the source of life. The scripture tells us that the curse of the separation from the source of life was quite harsh. "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." When at the creation, God created Adam, it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We need to remember and understand that formula, that the body that came out of the dust of the ground and the breath of life, which is life, the source that came from the source of life, are the two elements that create or form the living being. And without those two elements being together, death is taking place. And there is no function of the human being. Ecclesiastes says, when we die, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Job confirms in his thoughts, saying, all the while my breath is in me, and the spirit of God is in my nostrils. It's the same spirit of God, the breath of life, that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam at the creation that keeps us in alive. David says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Ecclesiastes continues saying, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nothing is taking place in the grave. Nothing is taking place after we die. I sometimes compare it to the computer. When you have the body, lifeless body, that only comes into function when you connect it to the source of life, to the power. And then this complicated machine starts functioning. That's how the body, the dust of the ground, is united with the breath of life, the source of life, that comes from the source of life, that creates a living being. Then what happens after we die? These two components, the elements, separate. What happens to the data that is in the computer? It's still there, but it's put on hold until it will be reconnected or reunited again with the source of life. It is important how we live, what data we store on our records, on our personalities. It is important also how we die, because that's what we will end up with when we'll be reconnected again with the source of life. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. Nothing happens in the grave. If a man dies, shall he live again? Job is asking. And this question is still relevant today. I know that every one of us, once in a while, is thinking, what happened to our loved ones that passed away? Sometimes I know that you spend time thinking, what will happen to me? What if there is no eternal life? What if there is no resurrection? What is my life worth? What's the meaning and the purpose of my life? Will I live again? And Job says, all the days of my heart service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call and I will answer you, he prays to the Lord, with faith and trust and hope. Bible calls death a sleep. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. When Jesus was told about the death of his friend Lazarus, he responded, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And when his disciples were questioning or were confused what he is talking about, does he really understand that Lazarus is dead? Jesus confirms and says, Lazarus is dead. But then he gives assurance to Martha, the sister of Lazarus. Not only about the resurrection, because she already has it. She already knows it. And she expressed it to Jesus. I know that my brother will live again at the resurrection. But Jesus gives her assurance that he is the source of life. He is the resurrection. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live again. What a great hope, assurance, and promise. With this in mind, we can face the future with courage. When Jesus came to the Lazarus tomb, he called Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine those people around him? There were different people in the crowd. Some came with a great expectation that something will happen. Some came with the faith in Jesus that he is the Son of God. He is God. He will bring Lazarus back to life. There were some that were very curious if anything will happen at all. And there were some that doubted that Jesus can do anything about this. But can you imagine that someday we will hear those who passed away will hear this voice, come forth. What an excitement moment it will be. When Jesus called him, Lazarus came out of the grave alive. There was a story about three friends that were pondering on the question what they would like to hear people say about them at their funeral. The first one was a doctor, and he said, well, I hope that people will actually appreciate what I've done and express their appreciation for much help that I provided to improve their lives. The second one was a good Christian, a teacher, and he said, I really would like to hear people saying that I was a good father, I was a good husband, and a good teacher, and I made a difference in many lives. And the third one says, that's all good, guys, but the only thing that I would like to hear at my funeral is, look, he's moving. Wouldn't we like to hear that? But one day, the Bible tells us that our loved ones who are in the graves, at the call of Jesus, come forth, will start moving. They'll come out back to life. Jesus is our answer. He told his disciples, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So what do we do? What happens when we die? Do we get our reward and go either straight to heaven or to hell? You know, if this is true, and a lot of Christians are preaching this message, then the second coming of Christ and the resurrection doesn't make sense. If we already received our reward at the time of death, there is nothing to look forward to. And behold, I'm coming, Jesus says quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Those who are fallen asleep, who are in the graves, they're resting from the troubles of this world, awaiting for the second coming of Christ, to hear his life-giving voice. Come forth. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, Paul says. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We very often share this comforting message at memorials and funerals with those who lost their loved ones. And what a message it is, that Jesus is coming soon to bring those who entrusted their lives to him back to life and reunite us with them and with himself. It is important to have the proper understanding of that message in the Bible, not to be confused or deceived by Satan's message. Because it is quite confusing sometimes when we interpret it otherwise. A 9-year-old girl shared her thoughts when she was asked what she thinks about heaven, saying, "I hope to go to heaven someday, but make it later than sooner." You know, very often I'm thinking, when I hear these preachers saying that when we die, we go straight to heaven. If that was true, it would be a mass suicide among Christians. And just like in my story with a retired minister, sometimes it can be very confusing. And sometimes it's very hard to accept. It just doesn't make sense. And we hear that message, but that message is not based on the Bible, on Scripture narrative. What Scripture tells us, that Jesus conquered the death. Jesus was dead, and now he's alive. And he is the source of life. He is the resurrection, and he gives us the promise that if we believe in him, if we put our trust in him, our lives are secure in his loving hands. He promised that he's coming soon, and he will reunite us with our loved ones who passed away and with himself. I know many of us here experience the loss of our loved ones. I know that very often we think, what will happen to us? Will we live again if we die? I want you to be assured, Jesus is the life and resurrection. And I want to encourage you to put your trust in him. Because nothing else in this world makes sense. Our Christian faith is the one that gives us hope in a better tomorrow. If you are willing to put your trust in Jesus, if you want to be a part of that first resurrection when he comes, if you believe his promise that he will bring eternal life with him and will accept us in his eternal kingdom, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Let us sing our closing hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement and assurance that you give us. Jesus, we thank you for death on the cross, that event that gave us hope in the better tomorrow. Lord, we thank you for defeating death for us. And now nothing can separate us from your love, even death. We thank you for your assurance in your second coming and the resurrection. We thank you for the gift of eternal life that you're promising us, you're offering to us, and all you ask us to trust you more. Lord, this morning we give ourselves to you, and we ask you to keep our destinies in your loving hands. Help us to be committed to you and your service, so that when you come, we'll be able to say that you are our Savior, our God, our friend, our Lord, and the kingdom is ours. We're looking forward to that day. Until then, keep us safe and secured, and keep us committed in our faith to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.